Hey, y'all. I have a special podcast for you today. There are over 300 episodes of the Losing 100 Pounds podcast, and we've covered topics like what to eat to lose weight, planning for vacations, and how to get your mindset right so you can lose weight for good. But I've never gotten the chance to speak directly to you and answer your questions until now. A new audio-only social media app called Clubhouse has given me the chance to talk directly to you and answer your questions live and in person. Clubhouse is basically like a big party line where everyone tunes in. It's awesome. You can drop in on conversations around topics you like and even raise your hand to speak and ask a question. And I'm holding a free weekly weight loss Q&A session for the public every week with Kathy on Fridays at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. If you want to attend, all you got to do is download the Clubhouse app from the App Store. You'll know it because it's the one with the black and white photo. And then register your username. You'll need an invite from a friend to get in. But once you do, type Corinne.club into an internet browser on your phone to find my profile and follow me. Make sure to hit the bell and set your notifications so that you never miss when I go live. Now, the Clubhouse app is still in test mode and is limiting users. I know not every one of you can attend. So I've decided to record these special episodes so you can hear what it's like. And believe me, I'm going to need a new mic because I keep dropping it like it's hot. Take a listen.
I was listening to a recording this morning. I was listening to some of my own self-development. And there was something that was said that I was like, this is so good. A lot of us have a hard time taking action. So we have a hard time with making our plan and following. Asking ourselves, have I had enough? So if you follow me, if you listen to the podcast, if you've done my free course over at nobs.club, you know that I teach you 4 basics to weight loss. But a lot of you have a really hard time being consistent with it and stuff. What most of you do is you plan those actions, you plan the things that you're going to do around the idea that everything has to go perfect in order for this to happen. And what I want to challenge all of you to do is to start looking at the things that you're going to do and make sure that the shit can hit the fan and I will still do it. That will help you get a little bit of clarity around a lot of times what we're doing is we're planning in fantasy land. So we're going to plan, to eat a head of broccoli for dinner with maybe some fat-free ranch dressing as if that's a good choice and that we'll want it. On a day when we know we are stacked and jacked with kids that are sick and we got to show up at work and our boss was on a tirade yesterday. I'm not saying you need to plan a hamburger and french fries from the Burger King, but sometimes what we need to do is like think about a little bit more around when we're planning things. Am I actually planning this from the mindset of I won't want to do it and I'm probably going to be resisting it? So if I'm not going to want to do it and I'm going to be resisting it, what does that action look like today? What does that food plan look like today? How many times will I need to remind myself of certain thoughts today? What are those thoughts going to be today? I want you guys to start thinking about that as you are creating your plans. We are in the middle of Basics 2.0 inside the membership where I am teaching you guys every single day a deep dive topic on the 4 basics, like how you implement them. Just like today, we will be going over weekends, celebrations, and trips. How do, like, this goes into that action. Never plan a weekend, a celebration, or a trip with the mindset of it's going to be almost insurmountable. So here's my plan. Or if it was perfect and everything went right, this is what I would eat. We really want to make sure that when we're planning from doable, realistic mindsets. If I'm not going to want to do it, and I'm probably going to have resistance, can I still follow through? If the answer is likely to be no, you don't have a plan. You have wishful planning. And so we really want to start changing that. All right. So keep raising your hands. Let's call on Deb first. Go ahead and unmute yourself. Ask your question and always start with my question is.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you for camp this past weekend. It's really opened up myself and my accountability group on just on what we've implemented from following you. We all joined in last September. And my question is around the thought work. I really, like I said, I guess camp really kind of got it stuck in my brain how we actually control our thoughts. And it's making it so that I can actually do that. And so every day I journal or I write on my plan that I want to feel joy and contentment. And throughout the day, those words pop in my brain, but it's almost like I guess I've been miserable for so long that I almost feel melancholy when I go to that point and think, oh, you can feel joy and contentment. And I just wondered if you had any words of advice when I guess I feel like I'm in the middle, like I might come out to the other side where I literally feel joy and contentment without my mind going to blah, despair or whatever. If you just had any words of advice on that period of time.
Yeah, keep going. It's working exactly like it's supposed to. This is what's funny. When we ask a question like that, we don't think about, well, what would the alternative be? Go back to feeling miserable? Because if you don't keep practicing, if you don't keep your focus on joy and contentment, if you don't go through the stages of, you know, especially for all of you, this is real interesting that you talked about this, because when we did all of the feelings work at camp, you know, there were lots of people, and I want to say this in case you're listening and you went to camp, I am not surprised by this at all. This is common. There were a lot of people who could not feel their feeling in their body because they have spent a lifetime numbing out. Like it was new to them to listen, and it's like their body couldn't even let its guard down long enough to like feel the physical sensations of what feeling they were feeling. Their brain was throwing up other thoughts like, I'm not getting this, I'm not getting this, I'm not getting this. They're so used to not getting it that their brain was still on repeat even while they were observing, which means you're not going to be able to sense those things. It is the same thing for you, Deb. It's, you know, your brain is very used to thinking sad, terrible, worst case scenario. Anytime something good happens, let's poke holes in it and figure out why it's not so great. It's just, here's a common example. I'm sitting around in Nashville, cannot wait for spring and summer to get here. It's all I've talked about all winter long. The second it starts getting warm, my brain didn't just go like, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. I wasn't like running through the streets. I'm like outside going like, it won't be long before it's humid. Gonna be real hot. I better take this in. Like there was no like what I thought would be me running outside traipsing through the daisies and a rainbow springing up in a meadow because the summer had arrived. When we're used to poking holes at things, finding the negative in things, and that is what the human brain does, then when we get what we want, or when we even focus our mind on what we want, when we become aware to start shifting gears, our brain is going to offer up its habitual default thoughts. 95% of your thinking is natural habitual thoughts. Our goal is to get to the 5% of the time that we're paying attention, that we're paying attention when our brain is just kind of running on autopilot and saying like, I think I want better right now. I think I would like to think something different now that I know that that's an option. Or like, that's such a waste of time thought. I don't even need to like change it. I know that's a shit thought. Like, I don't have to think something great. I just need to like stop thinking that one. It's not worth my time. That takes time. What ends up happening is there's a painful period for a lot of us that I want you guys to bypass, which is I find you in the stage where you're just super unconscious, where you're like, I didn't even know I could pick my thoughts. What do you mean? If I want to feel good, I got to think different. It's not like I need to go get a new job. I don't need a new car. I don't need to eat something to feel better. I don't need somebody to tell me they love me to feel loved. You mean that I can literally go through my life and handpick thoughts and feel different? And they're like, holy fuck, holy grail, this is amazing. And that's usually what happens when you join No BS. Or like you did, you took camp. But then you get really aware. Like, it's like, okay, so now that I can do this, holy shit, no wonder I've been so miserable. I keep thinking these things. In that moment, we have a choice. The choice is to be grateful that we have a lot of thoughts we can change, and we can say, I could really see my life being so much better and so much more fulfilled because now I'm catching so many thoughts. I got a lot of things that I can work on. Versus, oh my God, I'm so broken. This sure is a lot. I wonder when this miserable ass part will be over. If you pile a bunch of doo-doo thoughts on catching your thoughts, you're going to feel bad, and that's you down-regulating again. And eventually what happens is if all you do is judge those thoughts, you'll just encourage your habitual thoughts and you'll go back to them because you won't actually be giving your brain anything positive to shift to. The brain loves a reward. So if you find thoughts and then you resist them and judge them and tear yourself down, you give your brain no incentive to ever think something different. You give it no incentive to keep paying attention. The only thing you do is you give your brain more reason to shut itself back off again, to go back to how it's always thought. And so the key is to make sure that you're grateful now for enlightenment. Like you're like, I'm so glad I'm looking at my thoughts. I have tons of thoughts that I'm going to be able to work with, and I bet I only have to change a few to feel immensely better. I bet I can get good at this. If I can hear them, then I have a direct path to what needs to be fixed. That thinking already has comfort. It already has confidence. It already feels better. It's up-leveling, and it gives your brain a reward for changing how it perceives things. And then it motivates your brain to keep going. Does that help?
Yes, definitely. Because I don't want to get stuck and down-regulate. But you're right. That's exactly what it feels like. It's almost like putting on a comfortable pair of pants. When I go back to the blah thought, I'm like, oh, okay, that feels... But then my other part of my brain's like, no, that doesn't feel better. That's not what you are wanting. So yeah, thank you for that.
And I just want to say to everyone, and thank you, Deb, is we all do this. Even when we were at Camp Weekend, I know you guys think I'm the mental ninja and I must just be walking around all the time with amazing thoughts running through my brain. That is not how it goes. And every day I would ride down the elevator and have to walk to the ballroom with my best friend, who's a master coach, and the girl that like takes care of me when we're at camp to make sure I get everywhere I'm supposed to go and just all the things. She's also a life coach. There is nothing worse than having a good 15 minutes first thing in the morning with two masterful life coaches to point out every shitty thing that you say. It happened every morning. They're like, we're not self-deprecating, Corinne. Like our brains are just wired to do it. But the good news is that you can auto-correct so much of it. Just don't worry about some of the ones that you're doing. Just be so good at catching them. All right, Sarah, it's back to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Deb, for your question. We're just going to keep moving on this morning. Next up is Jacqueline. Jacqueline, do you want to unmute? And we'd love for you to start with my question is.
Thanks, Sarah. My question is, how do I find the thing to focus on when I have a lot going on? I do journaling and assessing every day, but I'm still have been kind of spiraling out this week just because it's the end of the school year. My kids have been virtual. They're not doing too good. Plus high school graduation, have people coming into town, have a lot of planning to do, and I'm still trying to do my doable foundation. And that's
okay. Let's just say, what do you got to do to lose some weight this week? Tell me what you think has to happen this week, and let's put some time parameters on it.
Well, I'm in maintenance, so I've just been doing good with that. Okay.
All right, to maintain then this week. What all's got to happen in order for you to maintain?
Well, I still need to keep up with the thoughts because I still live in fear of gaining all the weight back.
Okay, so how long will it take you to each morning write one thing you're afraid of and one thought that's like better than that?
Oh, that'll take like a minute.
Okay, so we have 1 minute this week that you need to spend on getting your brain accustomed to thinking a new thought. Then how many times a day do you need to remind yourself of that thought?
Maybe like before each meal.
Okay, so before each meal, and how much time will it take you to remind yourself of that thought?
That'll probably just be 30 seconds. Do you have any tricks for...
Set an alarm on your phone, let it go off. And then when you walk over there, you can, you know, on your phone alarm, you can tell it to like flash a message.
Okay.
So go to your phone. Like, you don't have to do it right this second, but are you in the Facebook group?
Yeah.
Go in the Facebook group today and say like, hey, can somebody screenshot how to set an alarm on my phone? Are you Android or are you iPhone?
iPhone.
That'll even be easier because a lot of them are iPhone users. Just say like, hey, I need somebody to screenshot how to set an alarm on my phone that has a message on it. And then somebody will literally show you how to do it. And then that'll even save you more time. Awesome. Let them do the heavy work for you. That's why you're in the, that's why you're a private member, so that you never have to solve these things on your own. So we're up to, so what I would do is I would have my phone go off. So like when it's around the time you would normally eat, you know, it doesn't have to be exactly when you're going to eat, but it could be like, if you know you some, like you get hungry between the hours of 5 and 6 or 5 and 7, have your alarm go off around the time that you're going to normally eat. And then that way, when you have to turn it off, you have to see that you're like, oh, I'm supposed to remember, you know, blah, blah, blah about maintaining. Okay. So we're up to 2.5 minutes of your day dedicated to maintaining your weight. What else do you need to do this week to, in order to maintain your weight?
Well, I do, my baseline is 20 minutes of exercise.
Okay. Are you going to do that every day, or is that like something that during an extremely busy time of your life that you wouldn't do? Like for me, I'm just one of those people that's going to exercise every day, no matter what's going on in my life. Like I would get up at, you know, like I'll get up at 4:30 in the morning, but that's me. Not everybody's like that. Like most of my team never exercises. And if they ever exercise, they're definitely not doing it during the busy times. I only, like when I have like a super busy week, I only exercise or I only do things that I know I'm going to want to do, not stuff I have to make myself do.
Yeah, so I definitely, I just do at least a 20-minute treadmill walk, and because that way I can do some thinking and I'm not having to worry about breathing and movement.
Okay, much. Then I would just say like right now I'm up to 22 and a half minutes a day dedicated to maintaining my weight this week. Anything else that you have to do?
Well, I mean, I don't have to do these things, but I do the, I do a journal, which can vary from probably 5 to 10 minutes. And then I plan and I assess for the day at night.
Okay. So basically, and the reason why I'm having you do this, and I think a lot of you need to do more of this, is when we say, I don't have time, I'm so busy, I'm juggling so many things, and I'm trying to maintain my weight. We want to get really specific what that even means. It's 35 minutes every single day of your time to maintain your weight. And then you've got 23 hours and 25 more minutes in the day to do everything else. And the way that you've broken it out, it's not even like you've got to find a 35-minute time block. It's like, I need probably 10 minutes first thing in the morning to get my mind right. You can, like, we can even chop off a minute, because probably part of the maintaining your, when you're journaling, you're just going to slap a thought in. Here's what I want to think today about maintaining weight. I wouldn't even talk about why you're scared. I would literally just, like, if, let me ask you this. This is when you know when you need to do a lot of deep thought work. Do you know that your problem is that you think, like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so hard to keep my weight off?
Well, there's a lot of other thoughts with it.
Yeah, but I mean, do you pretty much know them?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you probably don't have to write about them anymore. You probably need to spend all your time writing about why this is very doable. Why you can keep your weight off. Like, you don't need to keep reinforcing thoughts that you've uncovered and thought about for a long time. A lot of us need to move along in the thought work cycle. So if you're brand new to thought work, yes, you need to uncover your doo-doo thoughts and stuff. But if you've been doing this for a little bit and you're just noticing, like, here are the top five repeater thoughts that I believe about my maintenance, and I already know them, I don't need to keep digging around in those. I need to start amplifying what I actually want to think. Did you come to camp, by the way, this last weekend?
Yeah. I was having a hard time concentrating with all my thoughts, though.
That's okay. And
I missed the feelings workshop, which I was really disappointed because I know that's what I need the most, is to be able to feel feelings.
That's all right. The replays will be out within a week. I mean, and you can just go straight to that. Whatever you missed, just watch that one thing. Like, it's like, I would just watch that one thing, and I would just like make that part of your, like, break it up into, first watch the portion of the video where I just teach feelings, and then that's it for that day because you don't have a lot of time. Then the next day, do the part where I have you journal, and then do the feeling exercise. Then the next part is going to be the second part of feelings where I have you do something else. I'm not going to give away the magic of how we did everything, but I think you'll find it very beneficial because we actually do a lot of worry workshop stuff in that. I would just break that out over 4 days where you're only spending about 20 minutes each time doing any of the work. And I think that'll be beneficial. But when we were at camp, remember how I said about 1,000 times, amplify what you need to hear, turn the volume up on what you need to hear, turn the volume down on what you don't?
Yes, that's been working for me as well. I did set a reminder for midday, like, to check in what things I have to be proud of from the morning. That way, when I get to journaling at night, I don't forget.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I would, that's what I would do is just make sure that when it comes to maintaining your weight and your thoughts, is turn down anytime you notice yourself getting scared or fearful or whatever, like, you want to go to not being able to maintain your weight. A lot of times when we have a lot of things going on in our life, like, you know, my kids are trying to finish up school and we got to get their grades up and I've got one graduating and I got these things going on. It's real easy for us to panic that we can't, like, we'll go back to fondling our favorite problem as a distraction. It's like, you would probably rather be in fear that you'll gain your weight than to be in fear that your kids will fail. A lot of us do this. Like, let me pick the scary thing that I'm used to being scared of. It's a lot easier to think about that than it is to, like, very, like, get focused with helping my kids, like, be in the discomfort of helping them and do all that other stuff. It's a lot easier to sit around and act like we don't know how to maintain our weight.
Yeah. I just, like, I guess it's crazy how me feeling these other feelings is creating, like, amplifying the fear in my weight loss at the same time.
Yeah, it's just tapping on it's. So when we talked about this weekend, self-sabotage, if you hold on to this idea that you can't lose weight, then anytime something is scary, guess what? Your brain is going to be like, see, it's going to be really hard to maintain our weight. We have all these scary things going on in our life. We have all these busy things. We have all these unknowns. You know, that's why it's so hard to keep your weight off. Versus if you were doing more of the believing. So we want to amplify the believing. If you really, it's just like me. I've had my weight off for 15 years. When terrible things happen, I don't go to, oh my God, it's going to be so hard to maintain my weight. And what if this happens? What if this happens? My thought is always, I'm so glad I know how to eat healthy and stuff and be able to take care of myself. Like, my brain wants to prove that I'm really good at maintaining my weight. So it will see, like, Logan has to finish homeschooling today. He got way behind. We've never homeschooled before. He wasn't doing very well in a couple of subjects, and we have been having to turbo jam him through stuff this week. Not one time did I think, oh my God, it's going to be really hard to maintain my weight this week. Because I've been working on for so many years showing myself, hey, you're somebody who really shows up for yourself. Like, I'm so glad that we're somebody who prioritizes a 20-minute walk every day. Like, you having that conversation and all the things that you're doing that are maintaining your weight, that's what starts shifting that inner belief so that when shit does hit the fan in life, it's not tapping on that. Your brain won't go to looking for evidence to prove why your weight will always be your problem. It will go to looking for same shit, but it will look into your life to find out, and here's all the ways that you take care of yourself. Here's all the ways that, you know, you're really good at keeping your weight in check no matter what happens. So that's like, that's coming from making sure that each day when you're doing your journaling, that you're telling yourself, here's the reasons why, like, even if you can't believe my weight will never be a problem again, here's the reasons why this week my weight won't be a problem. Here's the reasons why this week I can get this done. And then as you show up for your walk, say, see, here's another piece of evidence. People who keep their weight off keep their promises to themselves and do their 20-minute walks. Like if that's something that you're easily going to do. When you know, go to eat, and if you, like, let's say you follow your plans, you always need to be telling yourself, see, this is evidence of someone who is really good at following through, making, like, I've made the changes. These, like, whenever you see yourself, like for me, whenever I, like if I go out to eat and I decide to get a salad, I always tell myself, I love that I'm the kind of person that would rather have a salad than eat French fries now. As much as I love French fries, and I will get down on me some French fries when they're planned, but when I go out to eat, like for a business lunch or I travel or something, I generally just eat like salads and healthy things that are going to give me energy. And I'm always telling myself, I love that I'm the version of me now that doesn't go out to eat and the only thing I'm consumed with is what I'm going to get off the menu. I'm here for the experience. I tell myself those things on purpose so that I identify as someone who maintains their weight. So that in the moments when life is hard, I fall back on the story that I take care of myself. I'm not falling back on the story of I'm so afraid I'm going to go backward. Does that help?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You've got this. Just each day. And here's the other, I will just throw this one out there for you. Quit telling yourself that you have a lot to do and you have a lot going on. Tell yourself, I'm smart enough to figure out every day to get the things done that have to get done today. That is way better, because here's what's going to happen. You are going to do that every single day. You're not going to go to bed at night and be like, well, the kids failed because I just had to watch Netflix. Like, we always are going through life prioritizing and getting things done. We may not be doing it to our false perfectionistic standards or what we think we should be doing, but most of us are going through life with our kids live and they survive and they're well fed, they're taken care of, they got a roof over their head. Like, shit does happen. We just don't give ourselves credit for it. We'd rather sit around and think we don't have time and we're not doing a good enough job and stuff. That is such a lie. You can find evidence for it, or you can find evidence of, you know, we've made it this far. I must have learned how to prioritize some shit because here we are. So like letting yourself understand that you will get the most important things done. You may not enjoy everything right now, but you will get the things done. Okay.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline, for your question. And what's really interesting is that your profile picture has a quote from Corinne, and it says, let your brain indulge that working on your goals is a sexy proposition. And I think that really brings your question and Corinne's answer full circle here. So thank you so much. And we're going to move on to Dana. Good morning, Dana. Do you want to unmute and start with my question is, please?
Sure. Good morning. My question is, what to tell myself, like self-talk works very well for me. What to tell myself. We had to put our dog down a few weeks ago and I find myself, grief eating. And I joined in March and I'm one of those people who I went through the modules. I did all the things and I had momentum. I lost like 4 pounds and now I weighed in this morning and I'm up 3.5 pounds from what I started at in March. So, and I know it's a natural thing, but I feel like the mental part of me is, needing a reboot. And I'm just, what kind of things can I tell myself to when I forget to plan and I'm just, you know, like when I first started, I plan, you know, I was religious with the planner and, but, you know, I looked at, I didn't even do anything last week, but today, this week I was better.
Okay. But so let's do this number there. One. I love the way you told your story. You told the story about everything that went wrong instead of starting with, hey, I noticed that I quit planning. And guess what? This week I've been better at it. You could always lead with that. And that would feel way better than, well, Corinne, I'm one of your March girls and, you know, I was doing so good, but we all want to do that. It's like, I need to let you know what the shit show of me is all about. It's like, instead of, hey, I noticed I wasn't planning. My dog died. I noticed I was grief eating. And guess what I did this week? I got back to planning.
And yeah, but now the weight, like now that it's showing on the scale. So I'm like, and I know that's not reflective of this week.
This is the thing. Like you're wanting to make that 3.5 pound gain a big problem. Let me ask you this. When you think I've gained 3.5 pounds, what do you feel?
I just defeated. I was like, yeah. Oh, and I think it also motivated me to be like, you have to get back on track.
No, the thought you need to get back on track was motivating. The thought you gained 3.5 pounds after your dog died felt defeated. Mm-hmm. And that defeated thought had you contemplating planning, had you contemplating not planning, had you confused about what to tell yourself when you want to eat over grief. Like that thought is the one that's sucking the wind right out of your sails. Now, when you moved over to, I need to get back on track. How do you feel? Motivated. When you're motivated, you probably take your planner out and you do it. Mm-hmm. There's probably not a lot of contemplating going on. There's not a lot of deliberating and negotiating and wondering if it'll work and all that other kind of bullshit. Like, this is important for all of you. You all feel very justified and married to your terrible thoughts. As if they're very needed. And they're just not. Because if they're going to lead you to feeling defeated and unmotivated, they do not spur action. All they do is spur wondering, negotiating, dwelling, sad reflections on how you have been failing and what you've not done, comparing your motivated self to your unmotivated self. Mm-hmm. That think, feel, do cycle never begets any weight loss, never begets any 24-hour plans made. It never gets that stuff. It gets a lot of stalls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want you to move into the land of, all right, so what are we going to be doing this week? The first thing I want you to do is like, we're going to plan. I'm getting back on track. Here's how I would think about it. I already got back on track this week by starting the planning. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Well, and last night I did go through and pull out some new recipes to try. So that's motivating.
Yes.
And I put that on my plan as one thing I'll add, you know, the part where it says one, what will I add more of? And I put in that box one of the new recipes that I ripped out of a magazine.
Yeah. And if you stayed, I want you to think about this. If you stayed more in the mindset of what you're doing for yourself and how you're already improving and you're already making strides, you will make more strides. And if you will allow yourself to think about this last month, like I was doing really well and then my dog died and I hit an emotional roadblock. And what I learned from that is that when I hit an emotional roadblock the next time, I need the thoughts that I'm going to need to make sure, like I need the thoughts and the actions of what it looks like when life isn't as motivating, excited, and easy to lose weight. What does that look like? And you can learn from this last month, but you're going to look back, not from the place of, well, I really screwed up and I was doing so well and blah, blah, blah. You're going to look at it from, this is part of my weight loss journey. What this taught me is that when something, When something big happens, my brain wants to go to what it's always done. So let me pull apart. Mm-hmm. What would I've liked to have thought and what would I've liked to have done during that time? Knowing that I was going to be grieving and sad and all these other things, how would that look like in the future? Because it's not that another dog is going to die, but you are going to have times where you're going to feel anxious or, you know, like last year we were all going through COVID. There's just always going to be something. Life is always going to be throwing something mm-hmm. at us that we have to emotionally contend with instead of contending with, like, we feel our first emotion and we're like, all right, let's contend with it with food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I've always done. So it, you know, going for a walk and being able to walk further now because, you know, I don't have the senior dog with me. That's really sad. But, you know, like realizing, oh, I can do a half hour walk and not a 15 minute walk. But
yeah, what do you,
you know, and even
go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just saying, like, I almost feel guilty there too. Cause I'm like, why am I enjoying this? Because, you know, he's, you know, so it's very much, I think a mental block.
But that
there,
is a,
like that's feeling guilty.
Well, this is why I wanted to address this because guilty is a feeling and where do all feelings stem from? Go back and listen to module 2
brain.
Of No BS. I know you've listened to it once, but it sounds like you could do a second dose of module 2. And here's the good news. In June, we are actually adding a couple of new lessons to module 2, and we're going to go through as a member. All the calls will be focused around thought work next month. So okay. We're going to do weight loss thinking versus diet thinking. So mm-hmm. that's what we'll be studying yeah. module 2 in depth next month. But they always come from your thoughts. So guilty isn't coming mm-hmm. from you walking for 30 minutes without your dog. It's coming from a thought you have about that time. And your mm-hmm. thought of, well, I can go further now that I don't have my senior dog. If that makes you feel guilty, like, and it, that thought is, that feeling is probably actually coming from the thought, and I shouldn't think that.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine, what if it's okay to have enjoyed every walk you had with your dog, and it's also equally okay to enjoy your walks now?
Mm-hmm.
Versus one having to be bad and one having to be good.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah, this one's just good in a different way. It doesn't mean you loved your dog less because you're enjoying a 30-minute walk. It means I'm smart enough to appreciate that I can take a 30-minute walk now, and I also loved my dog. Like, you can mm-hmm. have both. You don't have to feel guilty. There's nothing wrong. It's just like when people lose like when my grandmother died, both my grandparents actually, they died in hospice after really long battles with cancer. And we had to do a lot of taking care of them, just really hardcore taking care of around the clock for months. And there was some relief when they passed. And I will just say yeah. it was harder for my mother than it was for me. And I don't think it's because it was her parents versus my grandparents. I think I've always just had a different mindset of mm-hmm. me feeling relieved that I don't have to wipe their ass, clean up vomit, give them Miralax, and, you know, all the very uncomfortable things that I had to do while they were sick. I don't think feeling relief from that is a reason to feel guilty because I know I did all of that through love mm-hmm. and I still love them now. Like, that was always my guiding thought, is that what I feel now never took away how much I loved them, even relief mm-hmm. from some of the things that weren't so fun.
Yes, that really helps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he was sick. I mean, he had diabetes. I mean, he had a whole counter of meds in our kitchen that, yeah. like, I was like his nurse. And, yeah, so it was a rough, but... Yeah.
Sometimes I will just give you this and then we'll move on to the next person. But sometimes what we need when we are experiencing a wide range of feelings, very often grief is such a powerful emotion that, you know, it's so full of sadness and things that we often go to things like guilt and avoidance to not feel those. Mm-hmm. It's almost easier to feel guilty for being having some relief. And one of the thoughts that's always worked for me in, like, I have a lot of, I've worked on a lot of guilt around Logan and his condition and stuff like that, is to think, like, none of my feelings are bad. They're very natural. They're just coming from my thoughts, and that's okay. Like, to mm-hmm. give myself compassion, like, it's okay to feel relief. Like, I, like, with all those meds and stuff, it's like, yeah, it's probably pretty natural to not have to do that anymore. It's also very natural to miss your dog.
Yeah.
You know, and allowing those things for yourself. And that, I think what your original question is how do I quit grief eating? I don't think you're grief eating. I think you're resistance eating.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Dana, bye-bye. For your question
you.
Here. We'll move on to Stacy. We have just a few minutes left. Good morning, Stacy. Do you want to unmute and say my question is, please?
Hi. My question is, I'm working on self-sabotage around good and bad foods. So I've been practicing putting these foods I considered bad on my plan. But then when I'm like in the moment faced with choosing to eat them, I feel like I don't really want that. I want the healthier food. So do I almost like force myself, I don't want to say force, but do I eat it even though I feel like I don't really want it right now? Or do I just keep putting on my plan until I want it in a certain moment?
Okay, so this is an interesting question. Let me make sure I've got it phrased up right so that I don't answer this wrong. So you're making your plan, you're making the doable plan, and you're putting on foods that you think you're going to want. And it typically is foods that maybe you've been afraid to plan before and that kind of stuff. Is that what's happening so far?
Correct.
Okay. And then what's happening is in the moment when it's time to like get down on a hamburger or something, you're like, oh, like, I don't know if I really want a hamburger. Is that, and you might want, say, a salad or
yeah,
something
like the grilled chicken. Like, I just don't feel yeah. I want it.
Okay, so this is perfect. This is what I call weight loss mecca moment. The reason why I have you guys plan these foods is because when your brain starts realizing we're going to get them whenever we want to plan them, they lose their thrill. Like before, it's like when we think we can't have them and we don't ever plan them, they just linger in your brain like, oh my God, it'd be so good to eat a hamburger. Oh my God. And you just imagine your life exploding in delight and like every moment being, if you could just get that hamburger in your mouth. Then when you're actually doing it, what happens is the fantasy around the food and the off-limit stuff, when it goes, a lot of the energy goes behind it. So then what happens is you're like been focused on, you know, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do it the no BS way. Corinne teaches all this stuff. I have you go through thinking about what your life is going to look like. And I start opening you up to, here's what I'm grateful for today. And as I do all of that work in your planner, what happens is suddenly it's like your goals and what you really want for yourself are starting to have a louder voice than a hamburger.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, for me, I realized, you know, like going to dinner at people's houses or parties or stuff like that, I would go in kind of miserable because I'd have this very restrictive plan. And I realized like I'm really missing out on life with this. So I would put, oh, you can have the French fries, you can have the whatever. But then when I get there, I'm like, I don't want it. So yeah. I'm wondering, like, am I better off forcing myself to eat it? Or is it okay?
I'm getting
on my plan, but I don't want it.
I'm getting to that part. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. But the reason why I'm going into all this description is because there's a lot of people sitting around thinking that you never happen. Like, they won't plan these foods and stuff. But it's important for you to understand what's actually happening in your brain. Your brain is making the shift to being more focused on what it truly wants out of life versus just what it wants in its mouth, which is two very different things. So here's how I would start doing your plan now that you notice this is coming up. The first thing that most of you can do is Although it's going to jack your stats on your habit tracker, you will eat off plan. So now what you will do is, like, if you truly don't want the burger and you want to level up, like, you're like, I really would rather have something that's like going to help me, that like a piece of chicken, whatever it is, not because that food is the better food or whatever, but because it's what you want and you can see yourself eating it and being satisfied and truly enjoy it and it not take you away from your goals. You're not eating it because you're uncomfortable. You fear you're going to miss out. You're worried you won't ever get this again. I'm not like, this doesn't work in reverse order. We're not going to go and have a salad plan and decide to get a burger because we're going to reinforce some bullshit. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. I may never get this burger again. Might be the best burger I've ever had. We're not doing that shit. In this case, what she's doing is she is like, I really don't want that. I thought I would want this. And what I'm realizing is I want more out of my life. And I would rather eat this. And this could be even be better for me. She could have 1,000 reasons why. That's not diet mentality. That's no BS weight loss mentality. Diet mentality would be saying, well, I planned a burger, but I'll probably get fat tomorrow. So I'm just going to go ahead and eat a salad. That would be like diet thinking. That's still being afraid of a hamburger. But that's not happening here. She just doesn't want it. So what I would do is, first and foremost, is I would just break my plan, count it as I didn't follow my plan. I would do a discovery worksheet, but I would do it in reverse of, it wasn't an excuse. I'm learning more about my true wants and desires, so that you get the benefit of exploring changing your plan from a good mindset, from the no BS woman mindset. Then what you can do is you'll probably start seeing yourself want to say, like, you know what? I think I'm, I might want a burger or whatever, but what history is showing me is I don't really want these foods as much. I would rather go in and not have it planned and just see if drama comes up, knowing that I can eat what I plan. And if I ever want to plan the burger again, I can. So you can do it that way. The last way you could do it, and you're just going to pick whichever one feels best to you. The last way that you can do it is say, you know what? I'm going to plan both. I'm starting to see that these foods have way less importance. So I'm going to plan both the burger plus the chicken breast and baked potato. And then when I get there, I'm going to decide what I really want. So any of those would work. Me personally, I always err on the side of just like, well, honestly, I do both. I either will plan for the burger and stuff, and then just break my plan if I want to level up. And then I give myself a good journaling session on, that's awesome. You decided in the moment that you really didn't want it. You really didn't need it. That you could plan a burger anytime. You decided to go with a salad. Like, I would reinforce like that mindset and just be like, this is the kind of woman I want to be. Or I would probably not plan the burger, plan the salad, and go in. And if I wanted the burger at the time, teach myself, it's not the end of the world if I don't get it this time. And then figure out, all right, so when's the next time I could plan it? Like next week, tomorrow, whenever it would be. That would be the two. But for some of you, you may just want to start with just to get easy wins, giving yourself the option, and you go in and then you decide. Does that help?
Yeah, that's great. As long as what I'm getting out of this is that I want to analyze what my mindset is.
Yep.
When I don't choose to eat the stuff I plan, like the, you know, burger or fries or dessert, I'm leveling up in my mind, but I have to do it for the right reason.
Yeah. So like there's either, sometimes you guys will do it from a fear. Like it's like, I'll plan the foods, but then I get there, I'm so afraid to eat them, I won't eat them. That might decrease desire and the want. I don't want to say force you to eat a burger. Be mindful of why you would want to switch.
Right.
And then, because what you could do is if you find out what you're thinking, then you can find out what you would want to be thinking in that moment or what you want to think about those foods. It just gives you a lot of like good information. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go on to Shanna. Because we'll need to get, I'll be seeing all the no BS women over in Facebook in 7 minutes.
Okay, I'll be quick. How do you find the balance between the mental beat down, trying to motivate yourself through the negative self-talk, and being the overly permissive, dismissive parent in your mind? Like, where's the authoritative parent in regards to weight loss? I'm really working on stopping at enough. So this week, Facebook Lives have been amazing and just what I need.
So give me an example of what you mean.
So like last weekend, I went to visit my son in Pensacola for the first time since November. And I over every time that I ate, I ended up overeating. I overate. And I don't do negative self-talk anymore. If that starts coming in, I recognize it right away. And I'm like, that's not allowed here. But I don't want to be like, oh, well, it's okay. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I never tell myself something's okay. I don't ever say it's okay. Yeah. I might say, yeah. I noticed I like, let's say I overdrink. That'll be like one that I would probably write about the most. I'll say, well, last night I had 4 glasses instead of 3 glasses. And rather than saying it's okay, because a lot of times when you say it's okay, you'll tell yourself all the reasons why. I don't tell myself it's bad either. I just say, this is how I'm feeling today. This is why in the future I really like I'm going to, you know, learn to stop at 3, that kind of stuff. So we definitely, guys, you never want to be beating yourself down thinking that that's going to spur action or motivation, because that does not happen. So you're doing really good with that. It's important though that you're realistic with what happened. Like, I just want to tell myself the truth. The reasons why I drank more are because of this. This is what was going on. This is what I was having a good time. Here were the thoughts I was having. Here are the thoughts I needed to have in those moments. Like, really pulling it all apart that way is very helpful. Now, if I catch myself trying to beat myself up, I might say, it's okay. You don't have to beat yourself up to take a good look at how to improve for the future. Like, I may say some things like that. That would be the only time I would use the it's okay language. But most of us, what we do is we say, it's okay, I'll start tomorrow. That's a self-sabotage thought. Like, if you say, I'll start tomorrow, that has no reflection, no curiosity, and does not dig into what was going on today. So it's real important that you watch out. So like, if you went self-sabotage weekend, you know, one of the self-sabotage thoughts is, I'll start later, I'll start tomorrow, I'll start Monday. It's this idea of lying to ourselves that there's a better time in the future to start the perfect streak. And that's usually what's happening with that thought. So it's, if I'm going to say it's okay, it will be, it's okay that it happened, but we do need to take a look at it. We need to like figure out what was going on, what you were thinking, what you weren't choosing to think, how many thoughts you didn't decide to have. So I talk to you guys all the time about the best way to make sure that you don't overeat is, a lot of times you guys will say like, well, I just want it. And you're like, well, okay, well, there's that shitty thought, I guess I should eat. Or you'll say, I just want it. And then you'll yell, well, you can't have that. And then your brain will say, yeah, but it'll be really good. And then you just go eat. It's like, you allow yourself one counter argument, maybe two, but it's like, how many of those positive, amplified, here's what we're going to do thoughts, and here's where our goals, our thoughts, are you going to be willing to have in the face of, you know, when you want to overdrink, when you want to overeat or whatever. So that's a long answer to that, but does that help?
Yes. Just continuing the conversation and having the full conversation and not just dismissing it, but okay, it's okay, but, or, and, yeah, not but, and.
Yeah. Or in either way, it's like this idea of when it comes to the convert to me, when it comes to when you're looking back at an overeat or whatever, the conversation isn't over until you've pulled it all apart and figured out what did you think that like spurred you into the eating action, And what did you need to be thinking? And how many different thoughts did you need to have? And at what point did you stop thinking about what you most wanted? At what point did you stop countering the "I just want it" voice? Because at that point, you've got to add about 10 more onto that one.
Yes,
for the next time.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like really like taking a look at those discovery worksheets and, you know, don't just say like, "Well, I thought I just want it, so next time I need to tell myself, no, I don't." You know, like, y'all quit doing that.
Yeah.
Like, get specific. Yeah. What is it going to take? And change it up a lot until you find some stuff that gets your attention in the moment and gives you pause and makes you willing to sit through it not being comfortable that you're not going to respond to what you want in the moment. And what are you going to think about that? Like, do you think that's going to be super hard? Or is your thoughts like, it'll pass? I mean, like, a lot of times we just sit there and we wonder why it's difficult because we sit there and think about how hard it is versus this will pass. I mean, it's like the nuances of thought changes are everything. So, okay. I know we got to go.
Thank you so much.
You're fine. Sarah, you can go ahead and get us out of here, and I'm going to go ahead and leave the room and you can close it out, and then I'm going over to Facebook.
Thank you so much for listening today. Make sure you head on over to nobsfreecourse.com and sign up for my free weight loss training on what you need to know to start losing your weight right now. You'll also find lots of notes and resources from our past podcasts to help you lose your weight without all the bullshit diet advice. I'll see you next week.